Welcome back, sports fans. We've got a little longer of a show for you today, so stick with us. But we talk about the draft with Andrew Ross, Pac-12 updates, and of course the NBA playoffs. Also, things get a little weird during the Blitz package as we talk about the Browns and the proper way to cut a sandwich. But first, here's your jam of the week. This is Quinn92 with Another Day in Paradise. Kyle, there is a lot to talk about again this week. It is a crazy week of sports. Between the draft, all the Pac-12 stuff, the NBA playoffs are absolutely bonkers right now. But let's start with the draft. And first and foremost, with the number one overall pick, your boy, Baker Mayfield, goes to the Browns. Your thoughts on that?
What do you think my thoughts are on that? I love that. Was I expecting this? No. Was I excited? Yes and no. I will say that I wanted my boy, Sam Darnold, more of my boy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, right? But I was excited because of everything that surrounds Baker Mayfield. I was excited that he's been a walk-on.
That he's been drunk and pulled over and arrested by the cops.
Yeah, and hopefully he does a better job running from defensive ends in the NFL than police.
Have you seen that video? He got lit up in that video.
He got lit up. It almost looked like his head bounced off the concrete wall, which I don't know how he came out of that without an injury, but that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad for a few reasons. I'm glad that the Browns made a ballsy choice to just go for it. They obviously, whatever they saw in him when he made the visit, when he did his pro day, when he did all those things, they saw something that they liked. And they just said, forget conventional wisdom, and they went for it. I'm glad that they did that, because if you're going to miss going with your gut. Don't miss going what other people think. So I'm glad about that. And then I'm also glad somebody like Baker Mayfield, that was a walk-on, that just fights every single day in practice, every single day in the game, somebody with a drive like he has, even with his flaws, you know, got the shot that he did to be number one overall. So I wish he would have been in New York. I hate when guys get drafted number one or even top five and they're not at the draft. That's kind of a bummer to me, but I was super stoked.
Yeah, I mean, I think the backstory of the double walk-on and all of that is great, but I think the Browns did what the Browns do, and I think they screwed it up again. I really believe that. And this is aside from me just being a stickler for maturity and personality reasons, but literally there are some huge red flags against him. He's small, came from a spread offense, a lot of gimmicky offense, as they say, a lot of screens, a lot of quick passes, a lot of fake screens, and then throw it deep, that sort of stuff. Not a pro style, not a drop back, all that stuff he's going to have to learn already. And then on top of that, he's a 23-year-old child with multiple things going against his maturity level. And I just think that the Browns do what the Browns, or they did what they do, and they screwed it up again. I think that they also should have taken Bradley Chubb at number four. I don't know why they didn't do that as far as the best defensive player in the draft, but I'm happy because Sam Darnold didn't go to the Browns. And so I think that is, but as far as logistically and what I actually thought of the pick, I thought it was not very good.
So I agree with you. They should have taken Bradley Chubb, number four. I think that guy's a monster. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL. That seemed like a no-brainer. But obviously, you know, maybe they saw something else. One thing I will say is that did they do what the Browns always do? Because I feel like what they always did was take the person everybody thought they should take at the spot they were in. And I feel like they didn't do that. Really? I feel like they took the guy that most people thought they shouldn't take. I feel like Sam Darnold was the guy that everybody thought was the right guy to take, and that's what they had done in the past, and it hadn't worked out. And this time they said, forget it. We're going with the guy that we want, and then if it doesn't work out, that's the guy that we wanted, not the guy that the NFL wanted us to take.
I don't know. I just think – I meant that they did what they do as far as screwing picks up. That's what I mean.
You don't know that that's a bad choice yet?
I know. Of course.
He's not going to play for the first year. He probably won't
– Oh, he'll get in. they're going to bench Tyrod Taylor faster than they can even think. Unless Tyrod Taylor comes out and wins one or two games in the first six or seven, he's gone.
Those are high expectations for him.
Well, I mean, they've won one game out of 32 in the last two seasons. if he can't win one in the first half of the season, they're going to bench him and let Baker Mayfield play the rest of the year. There's no way that they let him go. There's no way that they let Tyrod Taylor go more than eight games as a starter unless he's won multiple games in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I feel like he's set up for failure. I feel like he was brought there to be just good enough so that the guy that they drafted number one overall would have a reason to sit on the bench for the first half of the season.
Right.
But not good enough to where they were committed to him long term and they had to pay him enough money to commit to him long term.
Right.
So it's kind of this perfect thing where you pay a guy a decent amount of money, but you're expecting him to fail so that your number one overall draft pick can go in halfway through the season. So kind of a crappy situation for him, but
who knows?
I hope it doesn't work out. I mean, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, but who knows, right? Because he did lead Buffalo to the playoffs. So it's not like he's a terrible quarterback. I mean, he's probably in that like 12 to 16, 17 range as far as the quarterbacks go in the NFL. But I mean, he did take the Bills to the Super Bowl. I mean, to the playoffs. So definitely not the Super Bowl, but to the playoffs for sure. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's stay on the draft. Who do you think, as far as the quarterbacks taken in the first round, because all five of them went, who do you think is in the best situation to be successful immediately?
It depends on what you mean by immediately. I think if you're looking at the first 3 years that they have in the league, I think that Josh Rosen's in the best position.
I know.
I think he has the best team around him. I think he's in a division where the powerhouses have taken a step back, Seattle being most important, right? Like, they have dominated that division for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've taken a step back. San Francisco is going to be better, but they're still in the up and up. The Rams are going to be really good, but they still haven't really proven to get past the first round in the playoffs yet. So they're in a division where they can capitalize a little bit, and he's got a good team around him.
Right.
That team when Carson Palmer was starting was – they weren't a juggernaut, but they were good. Like, they can compete with anybody on any given Sunday. And so for him to go into that place in a dome where weather's not an issue,
right,
in a division that's remotely gettable, I feel like he's in the best place. Second, I feel like Sam Darnold's in a good place. I feel like he's behind a really experienced veteran quarterback that can teach him a lot. He's in an organization that's not the Browns.
Right.
So it's a little bit better than being in Cleveland. So I think it would go, you know, Rosen one, Darnold two, as far as situations to succeed,
right,
at least in the first 3-4 years.
Yeah, I agree. I also, you know, as much as I don't think the pick was great and I didn't want Darnold to go to the Browns, I do think that Mayfield has some good weapons around him in Flash Gordon, and they got Jarvis Landry. Like, those are two pretty good wide receivers to have at your disposal. And they also have the tight end, I think from Miami, but he's a young kid. They drafted him last year, I think, in the second round. I can't remember what his name is, but he's also supposed to be really good. So multiple offensive weapons for him, and also low expectations. Literally, like I said, one game they've won in the last 2 years. So he could go in there and literally win three games next year and be a savior, because that's three times the amount they've won over two seasons. So I don't know. I just I think he's in a at least low expectation spot, which maybe makes it a little bit easier for him to just be a gunslinger, which he is. But I do agree with you in that Rosen is probably set up to be the more immediate success as far as being behind Sam Bradford, and then also having Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson at your disposal. I mean, those are some pretty good freaking weapons to have as a rookie coming in. One of the best wide receivers literally of all time. And then a running back who gets, didn't he have like 47% of the offensive production for the Cardinals before he got hurt or something ridiculous like that? Like,
yeah, he was the team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was insane. But yeah, so what about Saquon Barkley? What do you feel about him and the going to the Giants? How do you think that's going to pan out?
I was so high on him. I'm still so high on him. I think that guy's all world. I know that the combine is overrated as far as statistics are concerned. I think people look too much into the 40 and the vertical and all this kind of things, right? Because we've seen guys go into the combine and just blow the stats out of the water and just end up being athletes, not football players.
Right.
But I watched a lot of Penn State football over the last couple of years, and The guy can just do everything. I mean, he runs like 195-pound back, and he's 233 pounds.
Yeah, that's insane.
And one thing, and I will repeat this over and over and over when I have this argument about him, is that there's only – you can count the guys in the NFL that can – that are every down backs on one hand on the NFL. Guys that are – guys that can burn you on the outside, mm-hmm. guys that can catch the ball to the backfield, guys that can line up in the slot – and guys that can run you over on third down, there's literally four or five of those guys in the NFL.
Yeah.
Even with running backs being a dime a dozen, quote unquote, there's still only four or five dudes that can do that. And he can do that. Not only can he do that, I feel like he can do that better than a lot of the guys that can do it in the league. You have Le'Veon Bell, you got Todd Gurley, you got David Johnson, mm-hmm. you got
Zeke Elliott.
And he's on the bottom end of that tier, in my opinion. And then right. you have what's the taste of Jacksonville? How come I never remember?
Leonard Fournette.
I have Leonard Fournette. And that's literally it.
Yeah.
Like, outside of those guys, everybody else is either a speed back or a power back.
Right.
And he can do both with authority. So, and I think that one of the reasons why that they capitalized on him at number two is because Eli Manning is coming up on the back three years of his career. You have a small window for them to succeed with him at quarterback. And since they don't have a clear vision of who's going to replace him.
Right.
You have to take advantage of the opportunities you have while he's still starting. And so you take this guy, knowing that running backs can make an impact right away, mm-hmm. and hope that Eli has two, three good years left and you can make a run at something. And I think that was the right decision. So I think they made a great move.
Yeah, I mean, they shore up that offensive line. And they should be fine. You know what I mean? They really should be okay mm-hmm. with Odell and then now Saquon in the backfield. Maybe Dez Bryant coming their way and in free agency as well. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But I mean, you already have two really good offensive weapons on your side of the ball, and Evan Ingram, their tight end, the young kid that ran he's like 6'4", 255 tight end, and he ran like a 4.4 40 or something ridiculous like that. So I mean, a lot of weapons at their disposal, and I think adding Saquon Barkley really just elevates their offensive game to the next level if they can get an offensive line. If you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't matter how athletic you are. It doesn't matter what your 40 time is, what your vert is, what you did in college, because the NFL is just such a different ball game that no offensive line is literally the deterioration of any team. And I think that's what New York kind of went through last year. So who knows?
The problem is that division is just absolutely getting worse and worse and worse and harder and harder.
Right.
I mean, Philly.
Yeah.
And then Dallas is young and on the up and up, and Washington got a new quarterback, and that division has always been really, really competitive, but usually 11 games can win it because they have to play each other so often,
right?
And it's only getting better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good luck coming out of there, but
I feel like the NFL is going to be really exciting next year. Like, I'm always really excited about football season, obviously, because it's my favorite sport, and I think it's just Saturdays and Sundays is awesome. But like, there's so many big stories I feel like already starting right now, and I can't wait. I just want to know what your favorite pick of the draft is. Who do you think really made a good decision, mostly in the first round?
What team I think Arizona made a great decision in drafting Josh Rosen. I think that was a freaking steal, the 10th pick.
Yeah.
As much as it sucks because they're in my Rams division.
Yeah.
And I don't like Josh Rosen. I think that was a fantastic pick. I think also one thing that I liked a lot, I think Atlanta getting Calvin Ridley at 26.
That was mine.
Steal?
That was mine. You have the literally him or the kid from Maryland were the two like top wide receivers that everyone was just going back and forth between. You add Calvin Ridley to Julio Jones and Sanu. And Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, I thought that was a phenomenal pick. That was mine.
That was a huge pick. I think that Ronald Jones from USC going sixth of the second round was really impressive for him. I didn't think he would go that high.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that that Rojo was all world at USC, but running backs are, you know, unless you're Saquon Barkley, it's hard to be drafted in the first two rounds as a running back.
Right.
The fact that he went very high in the second round was awesome. I think that Lamar Jackson in Baltimore is a great situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that him going to a team where he would have a chance to sit behind a guy who's a veteran for a couple years and either 2 years from now prove himself and get traded to somewhere where he can play or play their starting quarterback out of a job. Joe Flacco out of a job, because Joe Flacco's on the back of his career. Since he got that contract after winning the Super Bowl, he hasn't been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's been mediocre. And so if Lamar Jackson can go in there and be the Michael Vick-like guy people think he could be, mm-hmm. he could take that job.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Because people are upset at Joe Flacco.
Yeah, because he's boring as hell. That's why. And he was never that good. That contract they gave him, that was just like a...
Hey, he won a Super Bowl.
Thank you. I mean, not that many guys win a Super Bowl, so I get it, but... He is not the guy. Like, I'm sorry.
One of the other picks I really liked was actually Dante Pettis going to San Francisco 49ers. You know, the 49ers last year kind of had just a wide receiver by committee sort of deal. I mean, they had, what's his name? Pierre Garçon, but I think he got hurt midway through, and they just kind of had some smaller name guys doing their thing. And so to add Dante Pettis to that, I think he could be a deep threat. Obviously he's fast. He's a great returner. So I like that pick as well. Let's stay kind of on that Pac-12 pick. So the Pac-12 had 30 total selections in the NFL draft. Pretty awesome. As far as which schools had the most, UCLA and Washington both had 5 players selected each, followed by USC and Stanford, who had 4. Arizona State had 3. Oregon, Cal, and Washington State had 2, and Colorado, Utah, and Arizona had 1. Obviously, the big-name ones, Sam Darnold went to the Jets, number 3 overall. Josh Rosen, 10th overall to the Cardinals. Vitaveia from Washington, he was a guy I was really hoping would slide to the Chargers at that defensive tackle position. I was pretty upset he was taking about 2 or 3 picks before. But he went to Tampa Bay. Colton Miller, the offensive tackle from UCLA, went to the Raiders. And then, like you said, getting into the second round, those were the four that went in the first round. And then Ronald Jones, Dante Pettis, and Uchenna Nwosu, as well as Isaiah Oliver, were taken in the second round. My boy Royce Freeman from Oregon, running back, I was stoked. He got picked up. He's going to be on the Broncos. I think he can make some noise because they just cut C.J. Anderson. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got a shot to play there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty awesome. So, a lot of love for the Pac-12 in the draft, and I like it. I know we talked a little bit earlier that those guys that went in the 6th or 7th round, sometimes even the 5th, don't necessarily make a lot of the teams, but just to have that level of that number of kids selected, I feel like is good for the conference.
It is good, and one thing that surprised me too as far as the two guys that we didn't expect to go that high, at least from the Trojans, 4 Trojans mm-hmm. went in the first 2.5 rounds. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Ronald Jones and Rasheem Green would slip a little lower than they did, so I was surprised to see that. Justin Reed from Stanford, Royce Freeman, really surprised me to get picked up that high. That was awesome. Harrison Phillips going in the 3rd round. He's a stud out of Stanford going to Buffalo, so not a lot of talent in the Pac-12. And I think although the conference didn't have the showing in the bowl games that we wanted them to have.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close. They had a great showing in the draft, and a ton of guys got picked up when the draft is over,
right.
as unrestricted, like non-drafted guys that have a chance to make a team. So a lot of talent in the Pac-12, even though the teams didn't perform the way we wanted.
Absolutely. Let's stay on the Pac-12, do a little Pac-12 rundown. So that's it for the draft, unless you have anything else that you want to add about it. How about, we didn't even talk about this, but our guy Shaquem Griffin getting selected, the guy with one hand, absolutely phenomenal. He's gonna go play with his brother in Seattle. That's pretty cool. I listened
to the GM or whatever up there, and then Pete Carroll talked to him.
Yeah,
got a little recording of him on the phone, and he was telling, you know, like, you better be ready to go 100%. We're gonna look for you to fight every day and just kind of kill it in practice and stuff like that. So
it's pretty awesome.
That was really cool. Yeah, so that was good moment for him.
Absolutely. And then also, I thought one of the other major moments of the draft was obviously when Ryan Shazier, the linebacker for the Steelers, walked out on stage because he was one that hurt his neck or his back this last season, and they weren't sure if he was going to walk again. And so he's on his way to rehab. He walked out and did the Steelers' first round pick, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal to see that. Even in Dallas, he got a pretty hefty ovation, which I thought was cool. But
really cool.
Yeah. So that's it for the draft. Let's move on to a little Pac-12 rundown. Let's start with baseball. As far as conference standings go, Stanford and UCLA sit at the top, both with a 14-4 record. They're tied for first in the conference, trailed by Oregon State at 12-6 and Washington at 11-7. Pac-12 ties for the most teams ranked in the top 10 of the USA Today coaches poll, with number 2 Stanford, number 3 Oregon State, and number 7 UCLA. Good for them. Softball. UCLA and Oregon are both 15-3 in first place, followed by Arizona State 12-6 in third, and Washington 12-8 in fourth. As far as the USA Today softball poll, number one, UCLA, 44-3 overall. Absolutely phenomenal. Number two, excuse me. I'm a little sick, kind of like Russell Westbrook's game. But number two, Oregon, 41-7. Number six, Washington, 41-8. Number eight, Arizona State, 38-9 overall. Number 10, and number 24, Cal at 33-13. So, five teams in the top 25 are from the Pac-12. Absolutely phenomenal. I had to count right there real quick because I didn't write that down before I started talking. So,
yeah, that seemed difficult for you.
Yeah, well, I'm sick, like I said. I'm not on top of my game. Cleveland just came back to beat Toronto in overtime, which we'll get to a little bit later. So I'm a little bit frustrated about that because I know how happy you are. I'm just throwing off my game right now, and I don't necessarily like where I'm at. But as far as softball goes, UCLA picked up four non-conference victories to remain number one in the top 25 poll. The Bruins are now 44-3 overall, and they received 30 first place votes and 797 points after victories over number 25 Oklahoma State and North Dakota. And also number two Oregon picked up one first place vote after sweeping Pac-12 rival and former number four Washington in Seattle over the weekend. Following the three wins, the Ducks moved into a tie for first place in league, like I said earlier. So doing this podcast makes me realize that aside from football and basketball, which Pac-12 had a couple tough years or tough seasons, we're kicking ass and taking names, and I like it.
Yeah, it makes you want to watch.
It does.
Makes you want to get in there and kind of, you know, get into those sports and really see why they're so dominant, because obviously they're doing something right.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're doing on this podcast. We're sensationalizing the Pac-12. It's hard to do that when in football they go 1-7 in bowl games, or when only two teams make the NCAA tournament and they're both knocked out in the first round. However, when women's softball and men's baseball each have multiple teams in the top 10, like, that's good for the conference, and we got to let people know that. So that is what we are here to do. Let's stay on the Pac-12 train. Kyle, do you have your – Kyle with the news.
I do. I'm ready to rock and roll. All right. So reports that the Washington State Athletic Department expects to be $67 million in debt by the end of the 2018 fiscal year. The Board of Regents will meet next week to figure this out. Good luck with that. Former Colorado player Jennifer Rollier-Huth was named the head coach of the Northern Colorado women's basketball. It was announced Monday. Rollier-Huth was the most recently an assistant at UCLA for 7 years. UCLA women's volleyball plays an NCAA opening round match against Harvard Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Oh. Winner gets the second-seeded BYU. Long Beach State is the number one seed at the moment. In other men's volleyball news, Stanford's Evan Enriquez and Jalen Jasper were named the ABCA All-Americans, with Enriquez earning a spot in the second team and Jasper getting honorable mention nod. USC women's water polo and the number one seed for the NCAA tournament. It was announced Monday. The Trojans won the MPSF tournament on Sunday and will host NCAA May 8th and 11th through 13th. The Trojans will face the winner of UC San Diego and Wagner in the quarterfinals on May 11th. Oregon State baseball's Kevin Kwan was named Pac-12 Player of the Week on Monday after going a 12-for-18 in four games last week to up his batting average to .340 for the season. And then last but not least, Doug Heller notes that Arizona State is thin at quarterback with Blake Barnett's transfer. The Sun Devils are down to three scholarship quarterbacks. As long as Manny Wilkins can stay healthy, it shouldn't be too much of an issue for the Sun Devils. And that's Kyle with the news.
All right. Holy, did you say 12 of 18?
12 of 18.
That is insane. What does that break down to? The 2 of 3, right? 67%? Like a 67% batting average, basically, for the game?
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
It's crazy.
I can't even go 2 for 3 in the batting cages when they just loft them up to me.
I know. That's what's impressive about baseball is that 50% is amazing.
Right.
So 66% is even that much more amazing.
Even 35% is amazing in baseball. If you get up to the plate and you have a .350 batting average, you're having a pretty great year. You get over that 40 mark and you're crushing it. Anyways, great job. We're bringing back our NFL draft expert, Andrew Ross. I know we dove into it a little bit, but he's got some great insight for us. So let's get to his interview. Here he is, Andrew Ross. I want to welcome back to the show one of the funniest guests we've had. And it will continue to be funny because we've got a lot of good stuff planned. Andrew Ross, our NFL draft expert. You have been quite busy over the last weekend, my friend.
Oh, Tone, it's out of control. You know that picture of Joe Dumars where he has two phones up to his ears? That yeah. was me this past weekend. Just GMs, scouts, Adam players, Schefter. Agents, yep. mothers, you name it. I was talking to everybody, draft. It's vacation time for me, but let me tell you something. 32 teams think they're winning the Super Bowl.
Right. That's what we got. Right. Absolutely. I heard you and Adam Schefter hung out. You guys He's a big sushi fan.
Michigan guy.
Big sushi fan, apparently. You guys went and got some sake bombs and did all that?
I mean, Seattle. One of the great things about Seattle. You know, Tone, I have to, for the fans out there that are now loyal listeners of the pod, I have to give a shout out to my Seattle peeps. They were upset with me on the last time. I am a resident in the Seattle area. And so, you know, trashing Seattle like I did wasn't right. One of the many things Seattle brings to the world is delicious sushi. Okay. No, it's from Japan originally.
Right.
You know, I feel Seattle's one of the best around. So that's one thing. Seattle also gave us Amazon.
Oh,
which, yes. You know, free 2-day shipping.
Right.
let's see. What else do we have? I mean, Microsoft. Yeah. Who doesn't like Word and PowerPoint?
I think Apple doesn't.
Fair point. However, our apps work. Well, Microsoft apps now work on Apple stuff just as good as they do on Windows.
Fair
enough. Not to mention, you know, the Olympic Peninsula, Mount Rainier.
Uh-huh.
Pike's Place. Starbucks.
Right.
You're welcome to all of America and every corner. So
Grunge music,
yeah. Pearl Jam, Jimi Hendrix, yes. Bruce Lee.
Okay. Oh, Bruce Lee, really?
Yeah, one of the underrated tourist attractions here, which is great, which is interesting. But anyways, I digress. We're here to talk about the draft. Seattle people, there you go. I love it up here. We talk good things about
Seattle is a beautiful city. It's a lot of fun. We were just giving you a little bit of a hard time. And also, that was a question from Brady Ryan, who's also a Seattleite. I don't know if that's what they're called, Seattleite. But
Shout out Brady. Brady's a born and raised, I believe.
Yes, absolutely. So just ribbing a couple of good friends, but Seattle is a beautiful city. But Seattle is also going to become a little bit more of a beautiful city because there will be a new Ross coming. Are expecting it within, what, the next month?
June 22nd.
June 22nd.
And now that I'm on the pod, this is a good time to defend myself because my wife's not here and can't make fun of me anymore. But many of you saw the Facebook post about my reactions to the C-section portion of birthing class.
Yeah, I saw that.
Tone, have you ever seen a C-section live?
Only when I perform them when I go down to Africa and help those countries. No, I don't. I have never seen it.
Because you stayed at a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, there's five phases of birthing class. Number one is, you know, the general biology of the body. First off, shout out to the women, to the moms, to the aunts, to everyone out there. Birth is really crazy and really tough. And I learned all about it in detail, in a natural birthing class where I watched videos of babies getting born, women I'd never met before,
right.
Just, you know, watching them give birth, and then C-sections as well. Many, many C-sections. And so it's a miracle I didn't pass out when watching that video. So the fact that my wife caught me at a moment of weakness when I said, you know, I don't know if I can handle a C-section. It's like, okay, obviously it's tougher for her, but I think it's a miracle that I wasn't on the ground passed out after watching 30 minutes of intestines moving side by side.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I don't do very good with blood. And so I think seeing a C-section would be tough, be very tough.
It's brutal. So here's the deal. You know, Baker Mayfield going number one overall shocked the world. What my sources are telling me is they got a little spooked by the Jets. So the Jets being – so think about it. The Browns are at number one and number four. And they loved Adams and they loved Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking to themselves – I mean, everybody said trading back could have been good. There were a lot of other valuable players that they could have gotten. Nelson specifically at guard, Chubb at defensive end. But if they if Mayfield was their guy, you're looking for a culture changer, someone who can come in and really rattle cages, and you think the Jets are going to pick him at three, if you trade down and out of those top three picks, you're going to lose your guy.
Right.
And so what everyone's telling me is that Mayfield went number one overall because the Jets were leaning pretty heavy towards Mayfield. But most likely it was a lot of trickery to get them to take Mayfield so they could ultimately take our guy Sam Darnold. Okay. But to Mayfield specifically, not the best quarterback in the draft, I don't think. However, I do think we'll be better than people say. What's not inspirational about being a walk-on at two schools and coming in and leading to the national playoffs 2 years in a row? I think the guy's got the work ethic. The question's going to be, though, there's a lot of pressure on him. Mm-hmm. Number one overall is you better produce. And if he doesn't produce, you know, people are going to be doubting that pick forever.
Right. And, I think he is set up relatively well, though, right? I mean, he's got Jarvis Landry. He's got Flash Gordon. He's got a pretty solid defense with a lot of young talent, Miles Garrett, so I think that he's in a little bit better of a situation, especially with new management, than people may give him credit for. However, I just think there's a lot of knocks against him just as the quarterback that he is. Yes, but he had a great college career, two-time walk-on, blah, 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 but came from a spread offense, a lot of gimmicky screens, pump fake screens, throw it deep, a lot of just the kind of the not traditional pro style offense. And so I think that's a huge knock. Plus he's short, small hands, you know,
true.
I don't know. I just things that, traditionally go against guys.
Yeah, I agree. Russell Wilson was short. Drew Brees was short. I mean, you can kind of do the comparisons all day long, but I think you're looking for a guy that's going to change the culture at number one overall. You're looking for a guy that's going to turn the team around, and everyone's going to look to, and he's going to say, "Get on my back, let's be better."
Yeah.
And I think Mayfield, I think he feels he's up to the challenge. It's tough, right? Like, I'm a Mayfield fan. You know, I'm a Mayfield fan. I went on this podcast and talked about how I think the right situation would be ideal for him. I hope this is the right situation. It just feels like a very steep price to pay at number one.
Absolutely.
I agree with you.
Absolutely. And I think a very safer bet would have been to go with Sam Darnold because he was kind of consensus number one, the Browns, if he doesn't pan out, which I think he'll be fine. But if he didn't pan out, nobody could really be mad at the Browns. Cause it's like, well, everyone thought he was number one, you know? Right. So, but I think they put a lot of pressure on themselves, a lot of pressure on him. Speaking of quarterbacks, let's stay on that train.
Sure.
Pac-12 guys. Who do you think's got it better right now? Rosen? Or Darnold?
Or Darnold, man. So it's so funny. I know Kyle is all in on Rosen. I think I would say Darnold. I still would say Darnold. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. I think that going to New York, in a weird way, the spotlight's off of him a little bit, considering that Mayfield went number one overall. I think Bowles is a great coach up there. Now, I mean, he's a defensive guy by trade, but hopefully he can develop quarterbacks. And they haven't had a guy in New York. Jets, oh gosh, in forever.
Yeah.
And I think what's underrated about Darnold going to the AFC East and why I think that he's actually in the best situation long term is because I actually think he's going to end up being one of the best quarterbacks in that division. I know Brady's there now and obviously the GOAT and all these types of things, but he's 42 years old.
Right.
And so, you know, you're looking at a division, and they, by the way, didn't draft the future. So, you know, they may be high on that seventh round pick, but I mean, it's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be a Jimmy G. So you're looking at a division that may be weaker and up for grabs in years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Darnold being there is a better position.
That's true, because the other quarterbacks are who? Tannehill and now Josh Allen in Buffalo. And
correct.
Then, and then Brady.
You know, I think is a little overrated. I've said before, I think he's, what did he throw for less than 2,000 yards his senior year? Yeah. And his accuracy was not good.
58% or something, 57.
Go ahead.
He was like 57-58% or something like that. So
not going to get it done, man, in the NFL when you got to get, especially in the freezing cold in Buffalo.
Right.
And then the Patriots, you know, who knows? And so I think long term. And the reason I compare that to Rosen is Rosen's in Arizona with a brand new coach.
Right.
If this was Arians, I would have a completely different viewpoint, right? The quarterback whisperer, I believe, is the name.
Yeah, I believe that's what they call him. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's gone now. And by the way, he wanted Lamar Jackson, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Okay.
But you know, he's going in. Fitzgerald's aging. the offense, I mean, David Johnson's back, but how good is he going to be coming off the wrist injury? They drafted a receiver in the mid rounds, but I don't know, with that attitude that he has displayed,
yeah,
plus a brand new head coach, and let's not forget, the Rams now have Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald.
I know, that's insane.
Right? And he's going to have to play in Seattle once. He's going to have to play in San Francisco once. I don't know. I wouldn't say he's in a better situation.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about which two teams do you think had the best drafts?
Well, how about this? I think the best draft overall, and I'm glad we're kind of staying on this quarterback train. My vote for best draft overall. When you look at overall draft, you have to think value. You have to think front to back of the draft. What value did you get and what needs did you fill? And that, my friend, is the Baltimore Ravens.
Really?
You heard it here. You heard it here.
Wow.
I think Hayden Hurst is an underrated talent. I think tight ends in this league create mismatch problems when they get into the slot, and you got to have outside linebackers, safeties, or sometimes nickel corners cover them. Mm-hmm. I think he's excellent. He's 25 years old, so he knows what he's doing. He's going to come in and play right away and make Flacco better.
So he's a veteran.
And I think
he's a veteran already, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, in a way, he is a veteran already. But I think, you know, you heard it here. I think Lamar Jackson's going to end up having the best career in this draft. I know I didn't talk about this in the pod last
time.
But people, you heard it here, mind blown. I'm telling you, the guy shot up draft boards. He comes from an offense that is actually very pro-style. Petrino is a tough coach, and he asks a lot of his quarterback. And while Lamar did tuck it and run a little bit more than maybe people would like, he's got the arm strength, he's got the athleticism, and he's run that pro-style offense before, right. And I think he sets the Ravens up for an answer once they're ready to get rid of Flacco.
So, over-under, how many games does Flacco have left as the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, man. So, you got to assume he's going to get hurt. So, I think, let's just be honest. Sorry, Ravens fans. I think we're looking at probably, I don't know, I'd say 10 to 12.
And then you think Lamar's finishing out the rest of this year after that?
Well, I think he's going to get snaps already. They have Robert Griffin too.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, that all works out. I'm sure he didn't know. They were interested in Lamar Jackson before he signed.
Yeah.
But what I would say is that he's Jackson at the end of the first round sets them up for success long-term and gives them kind of the heir apparent. Mm-hmm. And if he ends up being the top quarterback in the draft, it's going to look like a steal at 32.
Absolutely. For the Baltimore Ravens, how great is their backup quarterback situation? Two of the most freak athletes at quarterback to probably ever play the game. Heisman winners, both of them.
Yeah.
Insane.
Exactly. Not to mention their starting quarterback. I mean, I have railed on Flacco a little bit. The guy's got a cannon.
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone can get the ball down the field, it's him. I didn't even finish their draft. Mark Andrews is the tight end they picked in the third round. So two tight ends, what the heck? But I still think that creates mismatch problems. And they got Orlando Brown, who I railed on in this podcast.
Right.
But by all accounts, has started to turn it around a little bit, fell in the draft based on his combine performance. But you're talking about a starting right tackle with all the talent that a Pro Bowler would need in the third round, late third round?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a steal.
Whew. Well, you got me jazzed about the Ravens, but we'll see how that pans out. let's talk about who was your favorite pick.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, Can I be impartial to the Raiders?
You sure can, of course, yeah.
All right. Maurice Hurst in the later rounds, of the fifth round, I think is what they ended up getting him in. I mean, come on. That is a steal. The guy's a first-round talent out of Michigan. He had some health problems that people were worried about, but top-notch doctors at Michigan and top-notch doctors at Stanford both cleared him, said that he's going to be great, and they picked a first-round talent at defensive tackle to fortify their line in the fifth round. I don't think it gets better than that.
Wow.
But I'm a little partial to the Raiders.
Of course.
So I'll move to some of my other favorite picks.
But the Raiders did also take Colton Miller out of UCLA, Pac-12 selection in the first round. One of the best offensive linemen in the draft. So that's good for them.
That's true. They did. I was a little sad because I really wanted Derwin James, who went right after them to the Chargers.
You're darn right. You did.
Because I feel like they needed an impact player on defense more than they needed an offensive tackle right away.
Right.
Especially because they drafted another project in the third round. But, you know, Colton Miller, I mean, just look at his intangibles. I think it's 6'9", 305 or something.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
He's just massive. He's got incredible feet, super athletic. He's going to be able to protect Carr for a long time.
Yeah. And then we got Derwin James, so I'm pretty stoked about that because I am a Chargers fan. So thank you for passing on him.
He's so angry. But my favorite pick, I got to give him a shout out. LB's kill you, Roquan Smith to the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the Chicago Bears, who've had, let's just name them, right? Dick Butkus.
Right.
They've had Brian Urlacher, who I'm jumping generations here. Right. Mike Singletary, and now Roquan Smith. Chicago yep. Bears fans, shout out to my guy Joe P. You guys have a middle linebacker now that is going to fortify that defense for years to come. Mm-hmm. He was my favorite player in the draft. I think that he is just going to transform the way the Bears defense looks this next year. And I'm just super pumped that they got him at 8. I think that's a great pick.
Extremely athletic, sideline to sideline guy. Can also fill gaps like nobody's business. So
he's a 3-down linebacker too. I think that's what's important. He can right. rush the passer and he can cover.
Exactly. Which,
you see so many mics, like look at the Patriots just were running linebackers out throughout the entire Super Bowl. You've got a linebacker now that can be in all 3 downs.
Right.
And you picked him in the top 10, I think, right away. It's just a great pick.
Absolutely. What about your least favorite pick?
Oh, gosh. There was a fair amount, I would say. I think that – well, we'll get into least favorite picks in a second. Do you mind if I dive into the draft grades real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah, give me your...
Yeah. So my least favorite draft after I just pumped up Seattle so much is the Seahawks.
Oh, no.
I gave them my worst grade. I still don't know who's blocking for Russell Wilson. So that'll parlay into my least favorite pick, which was okay. shot any pick.
Oh, got it.
You know, who's blocking for Russell Wilson, Seattle?
Right.
Who's blocking for him? Because we still don't have the answer.
Right.
We still don't know. You had an opportunity in the draft to trade up. You had an opportunity in multiple rounds. The Raiders got 2 offensive tackles, for Pete's sake.
Right.
There were linemen to be drafted. It's not the strongest, but if you look at the end of all the way through the draft, they could have gotten a guy. And so the fact that they picked Penny in the first round, who many people didn't have a first round grade on, and oh, by the way, his weakness is not being able to pass block.
Right.
So Russell Wilson's going to continue to run for his life. They've got a running back for first and second down.
Yeah.
But I really would have liked to have seen them, you know, do a little bit better from an okay. offensive line standpoint and not make that pick in the first round.
So what grade did you give them? C-, or did they dive into the D range where they're going to have to go to summer school to make it up?
I'm a nice draft grade guy, and who doesn't love Shaquille Griffin going to the Seahawks? So I gave him a C-.
Okay, but, fair enough.
I also, shout out to you and me. I believe we predicted you.
We did. Yes. So, absolutely.
Great YouTube video, by the way, watching John Schneider.
Oh, yeah.
That was
awesome.
Brought a tear to my eye. I'm still waiting for that same call.
Oh, good. Any other stories you want to hit on from the draft that you thought were important to touch on?
Well, we can talk Pac-12 if you want. I have a couple. I thought the Pac-12 fared really well.
Absolutely.
I think there's a couple. I mean, these were some of my favorite picks. I think the fact that Justin Reed fell to the 3rd round and Texans picked him up. You have a starting safety right now.
I know.
An excellent athlete. And he was their first pick in the draft. He was in the 3rd round, which I don't think many thought he would fall that far. I know our inside source was telling us he was a top-notch athlete.
Right.
Ago. So right. I thought that pick was awesome. Other storylines, I'm going to make a bold prediction for your user or for your users, your listeners here. Ronald Jones.
Oh, yes. Name,
Rookie of the Year candidate.
Really?
You got Vita Vea and Ronald Jones on the Buccaneers.
Yep.
Great draft, solid pickups. There's a running back who right now is going to be one of the top. He's going to get lots of carries. And Vita Vea is going to pair up with McCoy.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we've got Donald and Ndamukong Suh in L.A., but look out for Vea and Gerald McCoy.
Absolutely.
It's going to be sick. I talked about Mo Hurst already. I thought that I think those were some of the highlights that I wanted to cover. I also, other prediction that we made, Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
I think that's going to be good. The Giants, by all accounts, they love Darnold. He was their favorite quarterback in the draft. But they think they've got 3 to 5 more years out of Eli.
Yep, I know. Which who knows? I mean, he's won 2 Super Bowls, so he's got it in him. But
I mean, he's one of, what, 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the league who won Super Bowls right now. So you've got to take your hat off to him for that career. And now the Giants, if Beckham comes back healthy and gets rid of all the off-season stuff, sneaky good defense, and now the most explosive back to come out in a decade.
Right.
Look out.
So let's stay on that train a little bit. Well, obviously, Pac-12 had 30 guys selected over the 7 rounds, which is pretty awesome. 4th in the conference in as far as like how many guys were taken from each conference. SEC had 53, the ACC had 46, and Big Ten had 32, and then Pac-12 came in 4th with 30. So not bad overall. But One of my other favorite picks that we didn't really talk about was Royce Freeman, the Oregon Duck, going to the Denver Broncos. I think he's going to make a pretty big impact right away because they just got rid of C.J. Anderson.
Thank you for bringing up that pick. I hated it so much.
Oh, my.
Raiders. I love the Raiders. I don't hate the pick because I think it's an awesome pick. If you're looking just from the Pac-12, you got a running back. What's not to love about Royce Freeman?
Right.
The guy blocks, the guy runs, the guy catches passes. He's run from the shotgun. He's run from behind center. I think the guy is a great pickup. The reason I hated it is because I think the Broncos are – he's going to be awesome in Denver.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to tackle him
in Oakland.
But I just got to say, I agree with you, Tone. I thought that was an excellent pick. We talked a little bit about Colton Miller, Justin Reed. I'm trying to think of some of the other Pac-12 guys that I really liked in the draft. But I think overall it was a solid showing for the Pac-12. I still think Alabama, you know, fared well.
Yeah.
With several of their guys going, Fitzpatrick going to
Miami.
The Dolphins, yeah, Miami.
Yeah.
And then the defensive tackle won the first round.
But, I think it just shows that there is some good talent in the Pac-12. We're making some noise. We had two of the top 10 picks come out
absolutely.
Of the Pac-12. So,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Good.
And two of the top quarterbacks in the draft.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't know. Rosen's my bust, but I still think the guy's got talent. The guy can make all the throws. And,
right.
and who knows? Maybe he calms down a little bit and makes it happen. What were your thoughts when he was making all those comments draft night about all the mistakes?
Yeah, I think he just needs to just get to work and just not talk anymore. That would be my recommendation to him. He's also behind Sam Bradford, so he's got to realize that he's behind a guy that, when healthy, is pretty darn good. You know what I mean? So, not great, but I think Sam Bradford is a guy. I mean, obviously with the Vikings, he was undefeated until he got hurt. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this past year. Granted, they had a great team, but I think he's cocky, and I just am not a real fan of him. So we will see how that goes. But the last pick I need you to make is probably the biggest pick. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Oh, man. I've heard you guys debating this before. I've thought a lot about this one, Tone. And you're not going to be happy with me. You and I can't seem to agree on these things, but I got to go with Backstreet Boys.
Andrew, it's been great to have you on the show, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Oh, man. I have to, Tone. I have to. I mean, you're talking about two of the all-time greats that they produced. And what do you want in a good boy band? You want a song that you can sing karaoke 2 years later. And I want it that way. That is the number one choice.
That's a great song.
The GOAT, right? Rock Your Body, another solid one. Two of the top solid ones. NSYNC's body of work is excellent.
Right.
But when I'm talking greatest boy bands of all time, what's the one song you think of? It's I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys. That's my pick. That's my number one pick in the draft.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that's why you're like the Browns organization. You probably screwed that one up, too. But that's okay. That's fine.
You've made it this far without a Johnny Manziel joke.
Yeah, hey, I was holding off for as long as I could because I know now it's actually coming to fruition. I thought he wasn't going to get picked by the Browns, so I thought there was going to be no direct correlation. But literally, now he is there, and I can't wait to see what happens because – can you imagine that storyline if that's what does happen, if he starts to fall apart and party and grab his crotch all over again? Like, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's so bad. You know, it's funny. One of the least favorite picks you asked me, you put me on the spot. One of the ones that I'm thinking of right now, I actually was less fond of their DB.
Apps. Yeah. Why did they not go with Bradley Chubb? Kyle and I talked about that too.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. You know, what did the Philadelphia Eagles just win the Super Bowl on? What did the New York Giants win the Super Bowl on years ago? Rushing the passer, getting after Tom Brady with four guys. And you're telling me that Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb coming off the edge doesn't make their defense that much better.
Yeah.
I mean, get solid defensive backs.
Right.
There was other defensive backs later in rounds that would have been solid. I mean, Adams is the top corner, and that's great. Having a shutdown guy is awesome. But what's better, putting pressure on the quarterback and getting interceptions from deflections and hurries and things like that,
right,
or having a guy that can maybe lock up with a receiver? I mean,
right,
he's going to have to guard Antonio Brown. He's going to have to guard Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going to have to guard some of these top receivers in the AFC North.
Right.
And I don't know if he's ready to do that, but Bradley Chubb is ready to rush the passer.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely. I agree with you. Well, Andrew, this has been great. You're always great, always very insightful. We're going to have to get you back on maybe right before the season starts to kind of recap where these guys are at and what's going on. But it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Would love it. Would love it, Tone. The only disappointment I can think of from this draft is that both you and I still aren't called.
I know. I don't get it. I didn't even get something for free agency either. I'm not really sure what that's all about.
Not sure either. I've seen you play. You know, I'm ready. Roquan Smith, I'll back you up in Chicago.
I was going to say, could you maybe be the center for the Seahawks? You could maybe block for Russell Wilson. Could you?
Come along. I love it. Every time there's a bad snap, my mom wants me to
Oh, man.
Last question. Sorry, I'm just hitting off my list. I just wanted to talk one more because I know you have Patriots blood in you.
Yes.
Them not drafting a quarterback till the seventh round, does that make Patriots fans uneasy, or are we okay with getting Sony Michel that late in the draft, that late in the first round?
You know, I think
Lamar Jackson was sitting there for him.
They were, and I just think that they think Tom's going to be there for another 2 or 3 years, and why not wait?
Yeah, why not wait? Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like New England's reign is slowly coming to an end.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Well, so, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Always a great time. Good luck. Let us know when the baby comes, and we'll, you know, maybe we'll do a father birthing podcast.
like direct, like a weatherman.
Yeah.
Like in a storm. It's like, and now we're Andrew bedside. The baby's coming out. Yeah. Megan, how do you feel? Yeah, no, I don't think that would go.
Oh, man.
But it would be fun. No, for sure. Picks coming your way. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Absolutely. It's going to be a great time. Shout out to Lucas Gilgan for his bachelor party. We'll be coming up to Tahoe. Doesn't know what's going to hit it. All right, Andrew. Thanks a lot. It's always a good time.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, see ya. Andrew Ross. I love that guy. He's great. You know, he's got a lot of good insight. He loves Baker Mayfield maybe more than you do, which I'm not a real fan of, but so he won't be back on the show until next NFL draft, but that's all right. Let's transition.
And this Baker Mayfield's winning Super Bowl, so we'll bring it back on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's transition to the NBA playoffs because it has been absolutely bonkers. I feel like this is what you want, right? Like, we had two epic Game 7s already in the first round. First one, let's start with your boy, because I know you want to talk about him, LeBron. He got by the Indiana Pacers. He had to go for, 45-9-7 or something ridiculous like that, but he did lead them pass in Game 7. What did you think of that performance?
He had an incredible series. I think that it started off really rocky. It made me really freaking nervous.
Right.
Because I thought, and I went both ways, because I thought that if he lost this series, it wouldn't shock anybody.
Right.
Because the team around him is just garbage. Let's be real.
Right.
Kevin Love is a bum. Kevin Love is a bum.
No, he's not.
He's a bum.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's a Bruin bum.
Oh, all right? Okay. Well,
they pay him $22, $23 million a year. He's averaged 12 points a game. Going into this Game 7, he was 59th in the playoffs for productivity. 59th. This guy's supposed to be LeBron's number two. He's a bum. So, with that said,
He's playing like a bum. He's not a bum.
He's a bum. Anybody that gets paid an extreme amount of money and is expected to do A, but performs like C,
right?
That's what I call a bum.
That's fine.
He's not a bum. He's got a big house, got nice cars. His wife's beautiful. He's got kids, whatever.
Yeah.
He's not a real bum. Like, he's a successful individual in the world. Okay? My, what I call a bum is somebody that gets paid more than they're worth. So he's a bum.
Fair.
So because of that, with LeBron having to carry this entire team on his shoulders, the fact that they went down early in that series made me nervous, made me think that they probably couldn't do it. But then I also got excited and I started to think, well, if they lose, then that means LeBron's leaving for sure.
Right.
And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the offseason exciting. It makes baseball season more exciting because it's not baseball season. It's NBA offseason.
I can't wait for the decision part 3. That's got to be like one of the worst sequels ever, right? I mean, can't wait for that to be on ESPN and LeBron to pretend like he's hurt and start crying like he always does and then say, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Hey, did you watch it?
No, I watched it on YouTube. I remember watching it on YouTube because I didn't watch it live.
They watched it. That's why he did it, because people wanted to watch it. So people sat there and they tuned in and they partaked in the ratings and then they talked trash.
Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. He had a great Game 7.
Yeah, you're right. He had a great Game 7. He had a great series, one of the best series he's ever had. People are saying it's the best series he's ever had, but you can't say that because the ones that he's had in the finals have been spectacular. Yeah. And this is with the finals.
Was that last year or 2 years ago where he led every statistical category?
It was the year that they won.
So 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fantastic that they won. I think it's good for the NBA the farther he gets in this Eastern Conference playoffs, right? Because right. This series against Toronto will be exciting. If they advance, the next series would be more exciting, and it's just good for the league.
Right. The other Game 7 that happened was Boston over Milwaukee, which I thought was absolutely awesome. Scary Terry, my boy Terry Rozier. I love him. Pass a Greek Freak. They're looking really good. And then the other big game was Utah beat Oklahoma City in Game 6 with Westbrook going for 46 or 47 points and the triple-double, basically. So close to a triple-double. So what did you think of all of that? What games were most intriguing to you, and what did you like?
So one of the things I loved the most, did they ask Eric Bledsoe in like the second game of that series? He goes,
"Who's Terry Rozier?"
Something about Terry Rozier, and they were like, "Oh, you know, what did you think about how he guarded you?" Yeah. And one of these, he goes, "Who the F is that?"
Yeah,
something like that. And I was like, "Oh shoot."
What an idiot, though. Don't say stuff like that.
That's the biggest slap in the face.
Yeah, but he went for
to not even acknowledge somebody as an NBA player. Like, I don't even know who that is. Like, I just saw some random dude guarding me. It's like,
well, he'll definitely know who he is.
Like a fool.
Well, he definitely is going to know who he's at now, sitting at home watching him play in the second round of the playoffs and in the first round, absolutely crushing the Philadelphia 76ers. So he is going to know who he is. And I can't, that's the sort of stuff to me that bothers me. Like, Eric Bledsoe, you know who he is. You're not an idiot. You get the scouting report. You know he's a decent player. Just say, hey, you got the best of me tonight. I'm going to kick his ass next game. Like, I don't understand why that's so hard to do. Then he looks like an idiot.
He does look like an idiot. but I don't want to say Eric Bledsoe. But he got a really big contract when he went to Phoenix.
Yeah. According to your definition of bum.
He's kind of a bum.
Yeah.
And he was a Clipper, and I used to love when he was at the Clippers. He came off the bench. He was an energy guy. He was super quick. I thought that he deserved the contract that he got, because I thought he was going to be a big deal. Got injured a little bit. I mean, he never really turned out to be that great anyway.
He threw a little hissy fit here in Phoenix. Remember that? He was talking about how he – something about how bad the team and the organization was and can't wait to get out of here, and basically made them trade him. That's why he's in Milwaukee.
Well, they're pretty bad, Phoenix.
You know, I tend to agree with him there, but yeah, he definitely.
But go in there and average 30-12 then.
I know, yeah.
Right? Go be Kevin Love. Go be Chris Bosh.
Right.
Go to a really crappy team and blow the freaking numbers out so you get big money somewhere. Like, don't just complain.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
And now he's playing with one of the best players in the world. But anyway, one of the things that stood out to me was the OKC series. Like, I just can't believe that ended up the way it ended up. All that talent on one team. How does that not work? Like, I just don't get it. I think it proves one of the things that I've been thinking forever, and that Carmelo Anthony is he's just a money-hungry – I can't call him a bum because he puts up stats. Like, he puts up the numbers.
But not in the last couple of games of that series.
No, like, but I mean just overall in his career. Like, he's not a bum. Like, he can shoot. That's true. A great player. But the only thing he cares about is stats and money. Like, that guy could care less about winning, because if he did, then he made some very different decisions in his career.
Right. And I tend to agree. And I know, obviously, Russell Westbrook is my guy. And I know that he put up, like, 45-plus shots or whatever. But I feel like he had to. Paul George was cold. Carmelo Anthony was cold. Everybody was cold, and so I feel like he just took over and tried to do what he had to do to win the game, and he almost brought him back. But I don't know. I said from the beginning, since the Tipsy Christmas podcast, that they needed to break up, and I still believe that now, obviously. But now it's going to happen no matter what, because Paul George is going somewhere else for sure. I don't know. I feel like Oklahoma City just needs to get a bunch of 3-and-D guys. Guys that can just spread the floor and shoot the three and play defense on the other end, and that's how they're going to be successful. You try and get all these other big-name guys that are just as ball-hungry as Russell Westbrook is, and they're it doesn't work. So stop trying to get the top – get the best D and 3-and-D guys you can and move on, and then let him – do his thing where he breaks down defenses and either takes it to the rim or he kicks it out to the open shooter and they can start draining from three and be more like the Houston Rockets and up their amount of threes that they take every game. But if they keep trying to do these, play with these guys that need the ball as much as Paul George and Carmelo Anthony did, it's not going to work.
Yeah, the whole combination of Russ and Carmelo is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the same player. Like, they both just – want to take a gajillion shots, and right. They don't want to run an offense. They don't want to move the ball. And two guys who just want to play iso ball the whole time, and the three other guys trying to scramble around and drive to the hoop and, you know,
right.
Get, you know, take spot up threes. It's just not going to work. So
it's not going to work.
No.
So that was that. Let's move on to what is currently happening. Obviously, the second round has started. It is Boston, Philadelphia. Boston took the first game. Over the 76ers in a great effort by Rozier and Al Horford, as well as Jason Tatum. How good does that third pick overall, Jason Tatum from Duke, look after Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball? I freaking love that. Obviously, I'm a Celtics fan, so I'm a little bit biased here, but come on.
Yeah, no, he's had more big plays and a bigger impact than both of those guys.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think not only does he fit in the team well, and he's producing well. I feel like he has the energy to really create momentum inside of a game, and he's probably had one of those moments every single game in this postseason.
Right.
Where it's a big point in the game where it's back and forth, and there's a couple defensive plays, and he'll go up and just jam on somebody.
Absolutely. And I think, too, for him, he's doing it without multiple stars. Like, his two best players are out. It's literally him and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford's, obviously. Multiple all-star guy, but he's a little older. So like for him, it's like he's doing it on his, not on his own, but like he's a big factor of why the Celtics are as good as they are as a rookie. And so, you know, when Lonzo Ball has equally, I think, as talented guys around him and Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle and all that stuff, and they didn't even make the playoffs. So like for me, you look at that sort of thing. Markelle Fultz obviously was out most of the year, but he has a great supporting cast in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and JJ Redick. But I love him. I think he is playing so well right now.
He is. But Boston has a better team, even without those big guys, than the Lakers have.
Yeah. Well, they have a better Brad Stevens.
Coach. They have a better system. They have a better culture. They got the whole thing going for them. Like, the team is built for success. They just had a couple injuries. The Lakers are rebuilding, and that's different, right? Like, they have a team that has the winning culture, that has the pieces to win the whole thing.
Right.
It's got hurt. The Lakers are starting from scratch.
Right. No, that's fair.
Totally different situation. Do I think that Tatum's better than Lonzo? That's a freaking lily right now.
100%.
But he's in a better situation.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Brad Stevens is showing that he is one of the best coaches in the NBA, if not creeping up to the best coach, because he's doing this, like I said, without his two stars, and they won the first round. I know it took them 7 games, but they won. They're obviously one up on Philadelphia. And I just love the way they play. I said this last week. They're diving on the floor. Literally, there were multiple times in that first round against the 76ers where they either 76ers made a shot or it was a turnover or a foul. They took the ball out immediately, fast break, and it was 5-on-4, 4-on-3, 3-on-2 because 76ers were just walking back, taking their time, trying to talk to the refs, trying to blah, blah, blah. Boston's like, I don't care. I'm young. I'm hungry. I'm just going to get whatever I can get. And it showed. And I love it. But as far as the other game or the other series go, Houston and Utah, do we even like need to talk about that? Or New Orleans and Golden State? Like, I feel like they're going to meet next round. So it's not even really worth touching on. But
it's a bummer because, well, it's not a bummer. The East, the West, outside of those top two teams, was super even going into the playoffs.
Right.
3-8 was like 2 games apart. So it was a total crapshoot on who was going to get to the second round. And we saw that with Utah beating OKC and then New Orleans beating Portland. We saw that it was just going to be whoever played better won. And that's what happened.
Right.
But, I mean, you can see right now with just the second round starting, Houston and Golden State are juggernauts, man. I mean, superior. They're not.
They're just superior.
Nobody's going to touch them. No. Like, they're going to play each other, and it's going to be awesome. And I hope Golden State looks friggin' incredible, but I hope that they lose because I just don't want to see them in the finals. On the flip side, the East is friggin' exciting. That's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about the East. We're talking about LeBron clawing his way through the playoffs tooth and nail, scratching his way up a freaking chalkboard that's 40 feet tall at a 60-degree angle. Ooh, just
that hurts my ears.
Right?
That hurts my ears.
That's what he's doing. And then you have Toronto who's trying to change the storyline about them where they get to the playoffs and they always fall apart. They're trying to change that narrative, be somebody that they weren't before. You have up-and-coming teams like Philly with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons who are just going to be ballers next 2 or 3 years. A Boston team that's injured, but they're young and they're great. And there's so many stories in the East. You can just turn the West off for the next 2 weeks. And we'll just wait till we see that. But the East is exciting. And I don't know that the East has a chance to beat whichever one of those two teams comes out of the West. I don't know. But right now, I don't care.
Right.
Because I just want to see what the future of the NBA does over the next month. Because that's who we're going to be watching in 10 years, is the guys that we're seeing right now in the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely. And I think the thing that I would like to add is I still don't think that any of those teams coming out of the East have any chance against Golden State or Houston. And I know we have our bet with they're only going to win one game, and I still believe that. As good and as hard as the Celtics play, it's not. And as good as Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are, as good as LeBron is, as hypothetically good as the Toronto Raptors are supposed to be, I don't think that any of them have anywhere near the ability or the talent to match up to Golden State or Houston. Those two teams are just far and above the best of the best, and they're going to show it in the second round where they're probably going to win, if not sweeping in 5, maybe 6 for both of those series. So, I know we've said this before, but I think top of the West is by far better than top of the East, but I do like what the East is showing for the future.
Yeah, I think I made that bet with the understanding that that Cleveland may be better than they are.
Right, and they're not as good as you thought.
And although they've won, and I watched that game 7 and I watched the game tonight, it's like street ball. The offense is terrible. They can't move the ball around. There's no system. Guys are missing shots. LeBron's number 2 and number 3 guy are just Houdini half the time, or they just don't make any plays, and it's up to him to just win by himself, and that's fine in the East, right? It's a bunch of young teams.
Yeah.
He can be intimidating, and he can body people around, and they can find a way to win series. That is not going to work.
Not going to work.
Against Houston or Golden State. I mean, those teams are seasoned veteran studs, and they will get – if Cleveland – unless they can figure it out. There's some young talent on the team. If they're playing the way they play right now and they end up playing Houston or Golden State, they might get swept.
Hey. And that was the bet, right? That's what I said. I said that. And I still, looking at any of those four teams, I still think that's a very high possibility now. Even more so now.
I think so too. I thought Cleveland had a really good stretch there, the back quarter of the season with those new players they acquired, that they kind of, those young players, they're playing really well. I thought that they figured something out, and they just look like crap. They're going to win because LeBron's amazing, but they just don't look good at all.
And they're so predicated on if J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver are hot that night, because if they're not, they're screwed. Literally, they're screwed. If those two guys can't make shots, they're in a lot of trouble.
Just threes. If J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, and Kevin Love can't just make threes, they're done.
They're done.
That's it. LeBron is going to score 38. He's going to have 38, 12, and 9, every game. But that's only one guy.
I know. And that's what, I don't know, it's great. And this is how good Golden State is. Obviously, the Pelicans swept the Trailblazers in the first round. And in the first game, without Steph Curry still, the Golden State Warriors won by 27 points. Something absolutely absurd. Just total. I mean, Anthony Davis still played pretty well, but you just watch them play too, and it's the same sort of deal where it's like they just have it figured out and they're just good. So that's what we're getting into.
Well, the thing that they have that very few other teams have is that they've been playing together for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That team is the same team.
Yeah.
For 4 years, I mean, minus a few dudes, even the bench is the same.
Yep.
So they've been able to just retain those guys and pay them whatever they need to be paid to stay. And if you've been playing with guys for that long, like they know what the other guys are thinking.
Right.
Which is actually so hard to compete against.
Which is actually kind of cool when you think about it, right? Like the fact that they're able to keep them around and add Kevin Durant, obviously, but like the main core of them for so long, like those guys are all kind of taking pay cuts here and there, or they're structuring their contracts in a way where they don't make a lot of money the first couple years, maybe the last three they do. You know, they like figured it out. I think that's cool. And I think that is a testament to their team chemistry, which is a big part of what happens in the NBA playoffs as well. Who is hot and who is cohesive at the right time. And that's what we got going on right now. And Golden State is just going to absolutely, I think, run through New Orleans. I'm not really sure. I'm going to look at what the score is right now. But it wasn't good when I was looking. Oh, they're only up 3. 58-55.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Halftime. Holy cow, that's a lot of points.
I know, there's no defense in the NBA anymore. It's true, man. I don't know if it's the fact that everybody jacks up threes all day long or what, but this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, this game should be like 90-86. Like, that's a playoff game. Like, every single shot should be contested, and it's just not.
So, do you have any predictions on who will make the finals now that we're into the second round of the playoffs?
I'm still sticking with the Cavs.
Cavs? Oh, and who from the West? Are you gonna change?
With
Houston. Oh, I thought you were gonna change.
I'm not gonna change, man. I'm sticking to it. I just think it's their time to lose. I don't know why. I think they've been doing it for so long.
I agree with you. They're going to lose. So, yeah. It's their time to lose because they're going to lose it.
Golden State is what I meant. Golden State's going to lose is what I meant.
No, Golden State is going to beat Houston next round. I think it's going to be an epic series. But you know what? I'm changing. I had Cleveland coming out of the East. I think I'm going to go with my Celtics.
Woo!
I just love the way they play. And obviously, rose-tinted glasses because I love watching the games because I'm a Celtics fan, but like they look good and they move the ball and they play hard and they dive on the floor and they dive in the stands and they dive into pools. They're doing all the diving that they can do whenever they can do it. And I think that I think that type of competitiveness, that type of effort paired with enough talent to get by, I think they could do it.
If they make it to the finals, that will be so impressive.
I would love it. I mean,
that team is going to be so freaking good next year.
I know.
It's scary, dude. Like, it's legit scary.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man, I love it. NBA playoffs. NBA playoffs are
awesome.
Very entertaining right now, and I love it. That wraps it up, unless you have anything else you want to add. Cleveland did beat Toronto tonight in overtime. They came back from, like, a 14-point deficit or so in the third quarter. LeBron got a lot of help from his team tonight.
Yeah, but he had a really big turnaround, 5-foot fading jump shot to tie it up or take the lead.
He did. He did.
So.
I'm just giving you crap because I know how much you love him. anywho, the Toronto Raptors are raptoring. They're doing what the Raptors do best, and they're just falling apart in front of our eyes.
I hate to say it because DeMar DeRozan's the Trojan, but
DeMar DeRozan's a Trojan. I like that. Kind of rolls right off the tongue really nice.
But man, do they just fall apart in the playoffs. Like, every freaking year they fall apart. And like,
every year.
The number one seed, like, they look so good all year long.
I know.
And not to say that, for all we know, they win this series in 5. And they go to the finals. Like, we don't know. But did they go to 6 with Washington? They did. They should have.
Yeah.
They should have effed that team up.
Yeah.
That's John Wall, Bradley Beal, and a bunch of hacks. Like, there's no reason that series should have won 6.
Remember last year when Kelly Oubre pushed Kelly Olynyk from the Celtics? You remember that fight?
Oh, yeah.
That's how much of a hack he is. He got up after a foul and just charged him. It's like, what the? Get out of here with that.
I know.
Oh, man. Anywho, okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're going to have Dan on next week to do a little NBA playoff breakdown. By that time, we'll be about halfway through the second round, so that'll be a good time. Nice. But let's move on to the Blitz package.
Let's do it.
Do you got some good ones for me? Because I got some good ones for you.
I got some good ones.
All right. Hit me with your first one.
All right. So, Baker Mayfield went number one overall to the Cleveland Browns.
Yep, wrong choice, but go ahead.
So, since 2000, and if I went back to like 1995, this would be ugly, but I'm not. Since 2010, which is only 8 years ago, they have had 15 starting quarterbacks.
Holy moly, okay.
These guys have started at least one game. Not played, started.
Okay.
I want you to name as many as you can.
Oh.
And you get three strikes. And then I also want to for you to guess before you start how many you think you can get right.
Okay. So how many total was it again? Tell me one more time.
15 total have started at least one game since 2010.
Okay, I think that I can maybe get five.
Okay, five is your benchmark. You get three strikes.
Okay. Robert Griffin III.
Okay.
Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
Cody Kessler.
Okay.
Brandon Whedon.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is where I fall off.
There's some guys you know in here.
I know there's some guys I know. The guy from Notre Dame.
There's some guys you don't know in here.
Deshaun Kaiser.
Yeah. There's your five. You got to get one more to beat your.
I don't know. That's all I can come up with right now, to be honest.
So I'll give you some.
Give me some hints. Five's not bad. I got five.
The oldest guy on this list played in the Big 12.
Okay.
And he has like the most American name he could possibly have.
Tim Couch.
No.
But he just
that's way too old.
But he did play for the Browns, if I'm not mistaken.
He did, yeah.
All right, who is that?
Colt McCoy.
Oh, dang, yeah, Colt McCoy. Okay.
Yeah. And then number seven on this list, who started 13 games in 2014.
Jeez.
For them. Is a journeyman in the NFL and has been very successful. He's probably played for five or six teams.
Matt Castle?
No.
Damn.
Brian Hoyer.
Oh, man, I knew that too. Okay.
The other guys are weird.
Yeah, who are they?
So, Jake DeLome, Seneca Wallace.
Since 2010, Jake DeLome has been played? He's played?
He started four games for them in 2010.
I feel like Jake DeLome should be like my accountant.
I know, right?
Yeah, like that name.
DeLome. Yeah. Thad Lewis, never heard of that in my life.
Nope.
I started one game in 2012. Jason Campbell. Remember Jason Campbell?
Oh, I do, yeah. He has a lot of snakes, if I'm not mistaken. I think there's a story about him and pet snakes.
That's
Did he play at Kansas?
I'm not aware of that.
Did he play at Kansas State?
Where did he play? I don't know.
Let me look that up. But go ahead. Keep going.
Connor Shaw.
Okay.
Josh McCown. He's another journeyman.
Yeah.
Austin Davis. And Kevin Hogan, who is the most recent starter.
From Stanford.
Yeah, who started one game this last year. So you ended up getting six? No, you didn't get Hoyer. You got five. So you hit your mark. There you go.
Dang. Yeah.
That's a lot of freaking dudes and a lot of dudes that nobody knows.
A lot of dudes and a lot of dudes that nobody knows, and that's why they've only won one game over the last two seasons. good question. I knew I could get a couple of them, but I didn't know. Some of those ones are tough. All right, my first one. I wanted to go to golf. Would you rather have 20 tour wins or one green jacket as your only win?
Oh, man. That is so hard. You know why that's hard for me? Is because I feel like I look at guys like Charles Schwartzel.
Yeah.
For example, who won a green jacket in like 2010, I believe, or 12. And then I look at guys like Webb Simpson, who won a U.S. Open about 4 or 5 years ago, who hasn't done – neither of those guys have really done a ton.
Right.
Outside of that, Jason Duffner won a PGA championship. What has he done since then? So I feel like almost people look at those majors and they think, Yeah, that guy really didn't deserve it. He just got hot. But if you win 20 tournaments,
Yeah.
you're the real deal.
Real deal.
But you're also, you know, Ricky Fowler. Like, you're the guy that's won a million tournaments and never won a major, and that's, man, that's hard. 7 degree jacket would be so cool.
Yeah, what are you going? What's your answer?
I think I would go 20 wins.
Oh man, I'm going green jacket one time. I'm a one-hit wonder. Mbop, Hanson, Dan would love that. I'm out.
Nope.
I get to play in the Masters every year, no matter what.
True.
No matter
Very true.
what.
Good point. But with 20 wins, I have exemption
That's
for
true.
so long.
And
My PGA career is like 15 years, no matter what you can do to me. And then also, those purses and even each one of those tournaments is 7.5 million.
So
So
you're making a million no matter what.
I'm winning like 1.3 a piece, no matter what. So I'm way more rich than your, $1.8 million Masters win.
Not if I'm
And
smart with my money. Not if I'm smart with my money. I'll put it in a S50P 500, whatever those
yeah,
are called.
you put it on that NASCAR racetrack, whatever the hell you just did. You can pawn off that green jacket for 400 grand if you want, but I'm gonna make more money than you. I'm a possible Hall of Famer with 20 wins. Yeah, people might say that I should have won a major and I didn't, but I don't know, I feel like I'm at an upper echelon.
That's fine. I'll be sure to ask you where I can get my green jacket tailored and dry cleaned at, so you can let me know. Oh man, I know. I'll wear it every chance I get around you, just so you know that I have one.
I'll bump into you on purpose and spill coffee all over it. I think about that.
I think those are like liquid repellent these days. I mean, I feel like they're pretty well made.
You probably are.
All right, what's your second one?
So my second one comes out of a conversation we were having earlier about Russell Westbrook, your boy. With OKC going out in the first round, huge disappointment. Nobody can argue that.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You have the rookie of the year, the defensive player of the year, and a solid coach and team around them
Stop, stop, stop,
already.
stop, 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 stop.
They had literally one less win. It's not like it was a huge upset.
You have a guy who is first year in the NBA and somebody in Rudy Gobert who's just a breakout player this season.
No, last year, 2 years
Oh,
ago.
fine. Was he first team All NBA?
He should have been with that long reach that he has and those shots that he alters.
You have that. You have that versus a two-time
Triple
guy
double.
averaging a triple-double 2 seasons in a row. Carmelo Anthony, who's probably considered one of the top 25 players of all time. Paul George, who is a baller with Indiana, and the guy that they brought in for them to be a big three, a powerhouse super team against a rookie and a guy that's a breakout who's a effing big man. He's a big man. He can't. He's a big. I mean, he's not a wing. He can't go out there and just dominate the ball. He can only do what he can do down low.
Ricky Rubio, you forgot about him.
And Ricky Rubio,
The best series of
the
his
man
life.
bun, the amazing circus boy out of Spain.
Right, what's your
Yes, that's an
question?
upset. My question is, we obviously know Paul George is going to leave now.
Yes.
He's got to leave. So,
He's gone.
two-part question. One, where is he going? Two, will Russell Westbrook ever win a championship?
Okay. Paul George is going to the Lakers from all of the reports that I've seen. And he can go there and just his career can die there with everything else that is associated with Lonzo Ball. So good luck to him. Unless LeBron goes there, then maybe they'll win something. But I think that is the leading candidate for where he's going to go. Will Russell Westbrook ever win a championship? That is a great question. You know, I think he can. And I said this earlier. I think if you get the top kind of 3 and D guys around him, 3-point shooters and defensive guys around him, and let him do his thing, break down the defense. That's all you need from them is to hit an open shot. Perfect. That's all you need. He's.
So by himself with a bunch of role players?
Absolutely. You think Kevin Love would be better with Russell Westbrook or worse with Russell Westbrook than he is
Kevin Love's a
with.
bum, so
No,
he can't. He
than what he is with LeBron.
can't make it. He I saw him airball like three pointers. So it doesn't matter whose team he's on.
Recency bias. Just talk about big picture. I think that Kevin Love is much better suited to play with somebody like Russell Westbrook than he is with LeBron. Russ wants to get it and go and just catch and shoot it, Kevin Love. That's it.
Yeah, what I think about is that Dwight Howard team in Orlando that had Dwight Howard and then a whole bunch of 3-point shooters.
Yeah,
that's all they were.
Jameer
and
Nelson,
they were really freaking good. They went to the finals.
Jameer Nelson, who was the guy from Eastern Europe? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Peja Stojakovic.
Was that him? I don't think that was him. I'm gonna look.
Peja. Was Peja on that team?
No.
He do it all night long.
That's
those
what
guys are. Those guys are both on the Kings back in the day when yes. The Lakers first won their championships. That's why I thought of that.
He do Turkaloo. He do it all night long. That's what we used to say from where you used to shoot the three from.
He was like 36 when he was on that team. He was still good.
But yeah, that's the kind of team I'm talking about. And it's a different ballgame now because it's not a big man in Dwight Howard with a bunch of shooters around him. It's literally a point guard that can break anybody down and get to the rim and have them shoot it.
Yeah, I think he could really be good with like a DJ. Like DeAndre Jordan.
Just some guy that can pick and roll, dunk at the rim. That's it.
Yeah, I think he could be great with a guy like that who protects the rim, plays great defense. He can run on the fast break. Russ can run on the fast break like nobody's business, and so can DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Run on the fast break. He can go with the pick and roll. Russ can go down there and draw the defense and chuck something up and don't yam it in somebody's face. Like a guy like that can be really valuable and do, you know, 15 and 13 every single night.
Right.
And then some 3-point shooters. Yeah, I think they can go a long way. I think it's hard in today's NBA to not have a second superstar and win a championship. That's hard.
Yeah, fair. That's a good point. And when teams have 3-point shooting teams with stars like Chris Paul and James Harden, I mean, I don't know. I like to believe in my boy Russ. That's it. That's what it comes down to.
I love Russ. I just don't see it. I think that he's a circumstance of bad timing. He's a Charles Barkley. He's a Karl Malone. He's a John Stockton. He ran into LeBron throughout LeBron's entire career, and then once LeBron's done, he's going to run into KD, Steph, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid,
right?
Freaking Giannis.
What about a guy like
monsters? Like,
and I know we throw this name around a lot, but in a serious fashion, what about a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who can do it all but isn't ball dominant?
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's a beast.
But you know what I mean? Like, you get somebody like him who can catch it off of a kickout and attack, as opposed to being the guy in the pick and roll. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to find guys that can sign with Russell Westbrook to win him a championship because I love Russell Westbrook, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It's hard because Carmelo is going to be there for the next couple of years.
And they need to get rid of him. Kick him to the curb. Make him retire. Can anybody make somebody retire? Is that a possibility?
They should do that somehow.
Is there like a legal thing that could happen? Anywho, my next question is not sports related at all, but I was making a sandwich today.
Yes.
A very good sandwich. It was turkey with some avocado, some tomatoes and onion, on some wheat bread, and before I started to cut it, I had an internal debate. Diagonal or right down the middle? How do you cut your sandwich? Or do you cut your sandwich, period? Do you even cut it? But this gets into a bigger discussion of the manageability of a sandwich, right? Like, if it's small enough to just hold all in one, do you do that? Do you even bother with cutting it?
So, man, there's so many. That was like 12 questions.
I know, I'm sorry. But I had an internal debate about what I should do.
So I will say this in the interest of transparency without alienating anybody that's progressive that's listening. But I will say that I don't make my sandwiches. My wife does.
Mm.
But if I were to do that, if I were to do such a thing, I would either not cut it or I would cut it down the middle. I feel cutting it diagonally is only something you do if you're like, if you own a cafe or something.
No, I cut it diagonally. I am a diagonal cutter.
Why? Can you explain to me why?
Because I like the direct angle of the first bite in a corner in that like little skinny piece. You don't have to bite right into the middle. Right? Like, it's just an easy right into the mouth. it makes it easier to maneuver around the sandwich as a whole because you have a skinnier piece to put in your mouth the first time.
I respect that. I'm not really opposed to that. I eat a sandwich every single day for lunch, and they're not cut. And I just pick that bad boy up and just go to town from one side to the other without any regard for anything. Any type of strategy whatsoever.
So that leads to another good question. Do you bite in the corner first, in the middle? Like, where do you attack that thing?
If it's cut?
No, if it's not cut, because you don't cut it.
Well, if it's not cut, then everything's an edge. I mean...
No, but the middle, I feel like could get more mayonnaise and stuff on your cheeks than if you go in the corner.
Yeah, you gotta start at the corner. You gotta go like corner to corner to corner to corner until it's something reasonable. And then at one point, at any given point, you're gonna be faced with the mid sandwich bite. That's gonna be messy. You gotta take it on and
just go with it.
Wipe quickly after you eat, you know? What are you going to do?
I'm going to do some research on, like, I'm sure somebody at some point has done personality of people who cut diagonally compared to, what do we call it? What do we call the other way? Diagonally or just down the middle? Like, equal, I mean, but it's technically equal diagonally, right?
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Perpendicular?
Yeah, normal?
Normal. I'm going to do some research on that because I. And it was one of those times where I had a sandwich and it was like the bread wasn't too big, so I could have just not cut it at all. But I was like, but I should cut it because that's what you do with sandwiches. I feel like you cut them. So I cut it diagonally. And then I thought, I wonder how many people would cut it diagonally compared to regularly perpendicular.
It's a reasonable question.
It is. And I feel like we've maybe found our new social debate as opposed to NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, which put to rest NSYNC 1. So
what? Do you listen to the show? That is not what happened. You freaking lost, dude. And the only reason that you didn't lose even worse is because you stopped asking people questions.
You damn right I did. Because I don't set myself up for failure.
You like went out to. It's like you went out for a presidential poll and you're Trump and you went to Arkansas. And then after Arkansas was over, you're like, well, that's enough of the sample size. I win. That's what you did.
No, I will say, I was at my brother's bachelor party this weekend down in San Diego. Hands down, 70-30 NSYNC to Backstreet Boys. Even asked one of the people working at the restaurant we were eating at, having the discussion, what they thought. NSYNC.
Well, I don't know what kind of weird restaurant you were at, but...
It was called Draft. Great restaurant. Also one of the sponsors of the show, so Kyle, you shouldn't talk about it like that.
Oh, I take that back.
But I will say, quick point before we exit... We asked we asked two people that were working there. One of them said NSYNC. One of the waitresses said, that's like before my time.
Oh, what?
I was like, what? What do you mean?
Was she 12?
I had that exact thought in my head. I was like, are you seriously think you're too old to talk about NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? Like, how old are you?
What'd she say?
I didn't ask her that. I just thought that in my head. I didn't actually say it out loud. I just was like, when she repeated that said that out loud, I was like, everybody knows NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. There's no like, I've never heard of them. Right? Like, I don't know. I feel like you can't say that.
Well, you could be born in 1998 and you could be 20.
Right.
And then the Backstreet Boys were like alive and kicking when you were 2.
Yeah. But also like when you look down what Justin Timberlake is and does, you're going to find yourself at NSYNC at some point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point.
And every Christmas party, you're going to hear Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And you're going to say, who is this? Well, I love your sweater, but whose song is this? And you're going to say, it's NSYNC. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know who that lady was.
She should be fired. She probably cuts her sandwiches regularly perpendicular. Anyways. Anyways, this has been fun. Next week's going to be another good one. We'll have Dan on. Kyle, it's been great. We'll do the same damn thing next week.
You know it.
All right, have a good one.
Her body's gold like September. She burns through the night like an ember. And all those things we try forgetting, I remember. But we say we all fine. Sunny day dreams and we up now. Vodka lemonade, I serve it up, it goes down. 75 degrees. bass and a dope sound. All you need to live fine, to live fine. A little sunshine, cause she needed a dose of rainfall in the evening. The waves crash down and we feel them. Say here's to the nights we steal them. And I'll be running cause I figured out, the more I slow down, the less I get out. And if we fall, let's be strong now. Moving along, we don't mind, we don't mind.